bubbles did you think they were? Soap bubbles. No, no, I was talking about the bubbles coming out of the diver's tanks, right? Didn't I make that clear yesterday? The bubbles came out of the diver's tanks, and the sharks don't like the bubbling noise. You've seen these movies where people are diving, and the bubbles go up, and the sharks don't like them. But it doesn't mean they attack them. It doesn't aggravate them. It scares them, and they go away. Right? Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender back at the Revelation series, and Christianity has many, shall we say, inventive and colorful ideas about what the horsemen are. And we are going to look at some of those colorful ideas today. Then we are going to go to the book, Concordance Studies in the Book of Daniel, and we're going to find out what they really are and where I was when I first realized what they were. By the way, folks, look at this. This is my copy of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ on the studio cam. We are halfway through this book. I'm using this book as a template. I'm teaching from this book. And, of course, I'm riffing off of it. I'm doing my Zender thing here, but we're halfway through. So how many shows we got? Coming up on 260 shows. So if I'm halfway through, which I potentially am, it means that, and how long have I been going? About a year and a half? A three-year series, unbelievable. It's going to be over 500 shows. But I tell you this, the Lord can return anytime and stop me in my tracks, and I'll be happy. My hair is curling. People want to know why my hair is curling. Because of the humidity here. The humidity here is awful/wonderful. I love it. So my hair curls. All right, listen to the fanciful ideas. I told you that people spiritualize this. And they do. I'm going to a website called BibleInsight.com, and that's a misnomer. That's the misnomer of all misnomers. Like the eons of the eons, that's the misnomer of misnomers. Listen to their... All right, I'm working. I got a small desk here. Listen to their interpretation of the number 200 million here. The number 200 million is mentioned in Revelation 9:16. This number is expressed in the Greek as two myriads of myriads, or in numeric form, 2 10,000 of 10,000. The 200 million is a number applied to the number of horsemen, which cross the Euphrates and kill a third of mankind. That part is true. 200 million represents a very large number. That's a brilliant statement. I like that. Therefore, it is not commonly encountered in the history of the people of God. However, it is reflected in the number of silver coins, pay attention now, annually paid by the vine dressers who farmed King Solomon's vineyards. Oh, the vine dressers. The reference there, if you want to go there on your own, I'm not going to take the time to do that. Song of Solomon 8:11 and 8:12. And here is the conclusion. This implies that the 200 million horsemen are reflecting a group which have worked tending the spiritual vineyard of God. That's right. You like how that there's a nice little song and dance there. Now, you wonder, we're going to get to the point of what they think these horsemen are, and I'm going to get to the bottom line here at Bible Insight. .com. There's more references about the number 200 million haphazardly ventured upon, I might say. And combining the above thoughts, and I've skipped a lot for your mercy, the combined above thoughts from these, we can see that the 200 million horsemen represent the great multitude of the vineyard workers of spiritual Israel. Can you believe it? And for some reason, fire comes out of them and sulfur, and they kill people. They kill a third of mankind, yet they're the vineyard workers. The vineyard workers. I guess tending grapes has prepared them for mass murder. I can see the correlation there. And, of course, spiritual Israel. These are supposedly, I guess, like the 144,000. So there's a group that's like the 144,000 that are going out killing humanity. As Aerosmith would say, dream on. Now we have another site here. Let's go here for your entertainment. This is raptureorwrath.net. Rapture or wrath? What's it going to be? What's it going to be, boy? Rapture or wrath? Oh, let me sleep on it. Yeah, okay. The sixth trumpet judgment, 200 million horsemen. Wait till you hear this. Wait until you hear this. 200 million demonic spirits on horseback will begin stampeding across the globe. They're not demonic spirits. Well, no, they're not. They're spiritual beings for sure, but they're under the direct control of the sixth messenger. Oh, no, the direct control of the four messengers was under the control of the sixth messenger, who is ultimately under the control of God. Yeah. This one is almost beyond human comprehension, says raptureorwrath.net. As like the last judgment of stinging locusts. In this very severe judgment, demonic angels are released from the Euphrates River to literally kill one-third of all mankind. See, I give them credit there to literally kill. But of course, they think that they're killing the enemies of God, this Christian website. And they are killing the enemies of God. But what is really not funny here is they don't realize that they are the enemies of God. I quote now from the site raptureorwrath.net. God knows everything about a person, especially that person's heart and its condition. Obviously, God has determined that those who perish in this judgment cannot be saved. Oh my goodness. Folks, if you realize what you were saying, you are now making impossible your own salvation. They cannot be saved. After all, they have witnessed. They cannot be saved after all they have witnessed. Surviving several earthquakes, starvation, burning meteor attacks, poisoned water, hideous locusts, and their stings. And yet, instead of turning to God, this is my plea to Christianity. Instead of turning to God and calling on the name of Jesus Christ, they continue to live in sin, shaking their fist at God and Christ. And that is exactly what Christianity is going to do. And it's like the irony that I delve into in my book. How to Be Free from Sin. No, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. That the marks of a cult are the marks of Christianity. Christianity claims to name the marks of a cult, and at the same time, they are a cult. It's so bizarre how this happens. Just like the Pharisees, look at the pattern. They think they're the most wonderful people and they're the representatives of God. And Jesus says that they're the offspring of Satan. So nothing has changed here. So they think, the people who put together this site, think they're talking about the godless people of the world. And they are talking about the godless people of the world, but they need to put up a mirror because it's bouncing back at them. The quote comes from Isaiah, from Ezekiel. Now, on the website, God tells the prophet Ezekiel, quote, "Do you think that I like to see wicked people die?" This must be from the Living Bible. Terrible translation. Says the Sovereign Lord, "Of course not. I want them to turn from their wicked ways and live." You remember what I'm getting into on the Romans series? I'm saying it how the worst sin is religious hypocrisy. That's the worst sin. The other sins, common sins of, lust, adultery, idolatry, selfishness, greed, all these things, they're subdivisions of the mother of all sins, which is self-righteousness. And because self-righteousness blinds you to the fact of how blind you are. It blinds you to your own blindness. And this is a vast problem in the world today. People blinded to their own blindness. It's an epidemic, it is. The comment comes now from raptureorwrath.net. What does this passage mean? He speaks this to commend God's mercy to poor sinners who rather is ready to pardon than punish. Oh, his long-suffering. They figure God is more apt to pardon than punish, but again, they don't see it as applying to themselves, though God in his eternal counsel appointed the death and damnation of the reprobate, yet the end of his counsel was not their death only, but chiefly his own glory. And yet they believe that part of God's glory would be these individuals of this context in Revelation who cannot be saved and will not be saved. And these Christians don't realize that they're talking about themselves, and if their doctrines of eternal torment were true, then they themselves would be eternally tormented, because they're the evil people who need to turn to Jesus Christ of the context of Revelation 9. They're the people who need to turn to God. They're the people. In this particular one-third of mankind, if this particular one-third of mankind would turn from their wicked ways, God proves in the above scripture that their choice to turn back to him would be pleasing to God, but since they won't, they will have to perish. It's their own choice, but with drastic consequences. It's their own choice, and Christians believe that, but with drastic consequences. But I say to the Christians, if any of you at RaptureOrWrath.net are listening, it's not your own choice. God has purposely made vessels of honor and dishonor. Right now, you are vessels of dishonor. But by hearing the truth of Paul's gospel, you can turn from your ways as you teach others to do. You want others to do that. But you need to look in the mirror and say that you need to do it. I hate to be the bringer of bad news like that, but it's such a turnaround today. Everything is 180 degrees diametrically opposed to truth. Now let's get some sanity. Page 290, The Unveiling. There is no need to explain the various features of the formidable cavalry. We could tell of the guesses that have been made, and I have told you some of the guesses that have been made. But we have no desire, says A.E. Nock, to turn the terrible tragedy here unfolded into a theological comedy. End quote. And that's just what we had here. I was reading a theological comedy that these represent, because there's a passage speaking of the wage of vine dressers, that therefore these horsemen represent ex-vine dressers of spiritual Israel who have been trained through their work with grapes to kill a third of humanity. No, we're turning away from the theological comedy. Taken literally, this is what I love about the scriptural method of interpretation, literal if possible. Taken literally, all is easy to understand. That's right. You don't need to have a dream. You don't need to strain. Look to other scriptures for an interpretation. It's easy if you take God at his word. But if we take each horse and we make it into a cannon, as apparently some did in A.E. Nock's day, belching forth smoke and flame and sulfur, but no shot, we will need at least four horses to pull each one, besides a gun crew. A.E. Nock, using a little satire here, I like it. And we would be compelled to create horses and men by the billions before we are through. This is the sentence that knocked me down, must have been 8 years ago now. This is it. Quote, the horses are real, the riders are real. And I was sitting in Mansfield, Ohio, at Kingwood Center, at a beautiful garden there. And I was sitting on a bench. It was summertime. And I had this book with me, this very copy in my hand. I had it with me. And I saw that. I read this passage. The horses are real. The riders are real. And I had to close this book. And I had to say, oh my God. They don't represent anything. They are real. They are supernatural animals, if you will. Supernatural spiritual beings that will go forth at the call of God and the call of the trump of the sixth messenger. And they will clear this world of its religions, making way for the only true religion that will ever visit Earth. That is the religion of Christ and a redeemed Israel, not a spiritual Israel, but a redeemed Israel, an Israel that will be reborn in a single day, but not until she has gone through the trial of her history. And that trial, folks, is coming soon.